O Lord, our God, we come into your presence. We acknowledge, as we have just sung, that you are the one who, through the entire history of mankind, you are the one who has judged the nations. You've thrown down mighty kings. You literally cast down nations. You decided when it was time to act, and for some rulers to be lifted up and others to be cast down. But as we contemplate that, as we recognize that that is how you still are operating in this current history, which is unfolding, we also acknowledge that your Son is the King over all kings, and he is the conqueror, and he has now revealed to us that his kingdom is growing, and the gates of hell will not prevail against his kingdom, and he is going to battle against the nations, and he will surely conquer. And we are thankful that he has conquered us, and that he has brought us in to be faithful soldiers, fighting for him, strengthened by him, equipped by him. And we thank you that the enemy, who has done so much damage, caused so much harm, told so many lies, ruined so many lives, we thank you that our enemy, the devil, is being vanquished. He could not keep our king dead. And we thank you that our king is raised and that we're raised up with him. And as we labor tonight doing kingdom warfare with our prayers, and as we look at your word, we pray that you would equip us, that you would further the work that you have begun in our own hearts, in our own congregation. We pray all of this in Jesus' name and for his glory. Amen. Tonight we're going to look at God's word, and we'll look at a verse from this coming Sunday, Mark 11:25. So if you have your Bibles, we'll be spending a little bit of time in Mark, but also in 1 Kings 8. So Mark 11:25. And as you recall from this past Sunday morning, the context is Jesus, who has just visited the temple and cleared the temple. And one of the distinctive things he said is, this temple is to be a house of prayer. This temple is, he doesn't say it's a house of sacrifice. He doesn't say it's a house of singing. He says it's a house of prayer. And so then we go into this next section. The verse for tonight's Mark 11:25. Whenever you stand praying, if you have anything against anyone, forgive him, that your Father in heaven may also forgive you your trespasses. So we look at this verse in Mark. The context is the temple, the house of God. Jesus said the temple is a house of prayer. And so this verse is flowing from what he said about praying, about the temple. So notice the posture in Mark 11:25. He says, whenever you stand praying. And the posture there of standing and praying is very reminiscent of being in the temple. So we're not saying hard and fast that Jesus is talking about when you're in the temple praying, but this is very reminiscent of that. You'll recall Luke 18. There in Luke 18, you have the Pharisee coming into the temple, standing in the temple grounds and offering prayer. And so we get the sense from that kind of thing in Scripture that people came from all over to the temple grounds, and they would pray towards that building, pray to God. And this makes sense, of course. The temple is where God said he would put his presence in a special way. And so if you had a burden on your heart, if you had a problem that only God could solve, and you knew you needed to go to God with it, you would come to the temple, and you would stand there, and then you would pray. And so we see this not just at Jesus' time, not just in the days of Nehemiah, but if you go back to the beginning of the temple, 1 Kings 8, when the temple is dedicated, the first time the temple has ever been used, when Solomon built that temple, he himself stood before it, it says. He stood before it, and he prayed to God. And in that dedication prayer, Solomon iterates all these different circumstances in which the temple might get used, and they're all circumstances where Something is happening, and so they pray. Something is happening, so they go to the temple and they pray. And I want to skim through that because it sets up the context for what Jesus is saying in this verse in Mark 11. So if you look at 1 Kings 8, we're going to skim it. Look at when people come, look at what they pray, and then look at what happens when they pray. 1 Kings 8:22, it says, Solomon stood, there he is standing, before the altar of the Lord, he's at the temple, in the presence of all the assembly of Israel, and spread out his hand toward heaven. And then verse 30, he prays. And here's what he prays. May you hear the supplication of your servant and of your people Israel when they pray toward this place, the temple, here in heaven, your dwelling place. And when you hear, forgive. So they're standing in prayer at the temple. They bring their request, and he tacks on, God, would you forgive? And then look at how this happens every single time after that. There's a request to hear our prayers and a request to be forgiven by God. Verse 31, when I sin against someone, hear our prayer when we come to you because we have sinned. And when you hear, forgive. Then verse 33, when we're defeated in battle, because we sin, hear in heaven and forgive the sin of your people. And verse 35, when there's a drought, when there's no rain, when the crops are dying because we sinned, hear our prayer. Hear in heaven and forgive the sin of your servants, your people Israel, and send rain. Verse 37, when there's famine, when there's a pandemic, hear in heaven, your dwelling place, and forgive. Then verse 44, it's a recapitulation of the battle request. When we go to battle, verse 46, when they sin against you, the people, for there is no one who does not sin, and you become angry with them, verse 47, when they come to themselves in the land where they were carried captive and repent, verse 49, hear in heaven, your dwelling place, hear their prayer, verse 50, and forgive your people who have sinned against you, and all their transgressions which they've sinned against you. So you see, as you chain through that, with almost every single one of the requests, they realize we need to pray. And the problem is almost always because they've sinned. And so they go to the temple, they stand in prayer, and they say, Lord, hear our prayer and forgive us our sins. So what does this whole dedication prayer of the temple, what does it reveal? Is one of the main purposes of coming into the presence of God at the temple. It's the place where God hears our prayers and forgives our sins. God has made a way for your prayers when you're in trouble to be heard. Even when you've caused the troubles, even when it's because you sinned, just like that whole list that he gave, and God has made a way for those sins to be forgiven. Now, that was in the days of Solomon. Now jump from there into the future with Jesus at the temple. Jesus speaks of standing there in prayer at the temple. And he says, look at how he extends it a little bit further. Whenever you stand praying, if you have anything against anyone, you forgive him that your Father in heaven may also forgive you your trespasses. So do you see how Jesus has just extended the scope just a little bit further of our prayers? All through the dedication of the temple. The temple is where we come to God when we're in trouble. We seek help and forgiveness from him. Here, Jesus says, when you come to God in your prayers, now you be like God and you forgive the sins that were done against you. So you see how this teaching of Jesus connects to the temple where he's standing in the context of Mark, and how he connects the temple forgiveness for the supplicant, the person who's coming. He says, you forgive, Jesus says in verse 25, you forgive if you want God to forgive you. Jesus is saying, you're here with your need, you're seeking forgiveness from God, but first, you've got to forgive those who sinned against you. Forgive those who sinned against you. But sometimes we don't want to forgive people. They've treated us badly. They treated us very badly. We can forgive those who wrong us because of Jesus. Who is it? Who is it that is standing in the presence of God now, praying and forgiving those who sinned against him? It's Jesus, right? Romans 8:34. It is Christ who died and furthermore is also risen, who is even at the right hand of God, who also makes intercession for us. Christ has died for us. Christ lives for us. Christ prays for us. And Christ is forgiving us. So let us forgive those who sin against us.